Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up.
The German Tommy Haas has seen a lot during his 21 years as a professional tennis player, but every now and then Tommy is surprised on the court, and he got a scaly surprise in Miami, Florida. A big wild iguana temporarily stopped his first round match against Czech opponent Jiří Veselý at the Miami Open tournament. The reptile first ran onto the scoreboard, upsetting Veselý. The chair umpire tried to reassure Veselý that the iguana posed no threat and was not a dangerous animal. But the 23-year-old Veselý said he could not concentrate, and he asked for the iguana to be removed from the court. At that point, the 38-year-old Haas used the break in the action to take a selfie photo with the iguana. And our Voice of America tennis fans can see the Tommy Haas photo with the iguana over Tommy's right shoulder at my Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Now, when Miami Open officials tried to capture the reptile, the iguana jumped off the scoreboard and scurried across the court. The iguana climbed up a second scoreboard on the opposite baseline before officials finally threw a towel over the reptile and carried it from the court. Tommy Haas joked about the incident, saying, and I quote, "Maybe the iguana got the note that this is most likely the last time I'm playing here in Miami, and he wanted to say hi and take a peek or something." Veselý eventually won the match when play resumed, beating Haas in three sets, 6-7, 6-3, and 7-5. The world's two highest-ranked men's tennis players, Andy Murray of Britain and Novak Djokovic of Serbia, are not playing at the Miami Open, so that should improve the title chances of two stars currently ranked 6th and 7th in the world, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. The 35-year-old Federer is playing some great tennis after missing most of the 2016 season with injuries. Roger won his record-extending 18th Grand Slam singles title in Australia in January, and 4 days ago, Roger won the BNP Paribas Open Trophy in Indian Wells, California. Talk to us, Roger!
I'm just happy playing healthy again. It's an amazing feeling. Last year was so complicated and difficult on so many levels that it's just so nice to be back on the tour and playing good and nice tennis, and plus it translates into winning trophies. It's like the perfect start. I can't believe it.
Roger, do you think much about playing good and nice tennis at the age of 35?
You know, you don't think of your age every single day. I mean, as in an overall schedule, you know, you think of your age and you know that you've played over 1,300 matches in your life and you've been on tour for a long, long time. So you got to take precautions, you know, you do more stretching, more massages, more sleep, more warm-ups, all of that stuff. But, you know, as long as it's still fun, you're willing to do it. And for that, I think you need at least a minimum of success, you know, otherwise it's just not worth it.
If his winning form holds in Miami, Roger Federer could be headed for another tennis showdown with his longtime Spanish rival, Rafa Nadal. Roger beat Rafa in a thrilling five-set match to win the Australian Open in January. Rafa says he likes his title chances in Miami.
I think I'm playing well. No? And, last year I was in the right spot to win important tournaments. I won in Monte Carlo, I won in Barcelona, but then happened the injury. No? So remain an important event for me here on hard that I will be great for me to finish with positive feelings here in Miami before arrived the clay court season, so I'm focused on that.
Meanwhile, Japanese star Kei Nishikori, currently ranked fourth in the world, is also playing at the Miami Open in Florida. The 27-year-old Nishikori lives in Bradenton on Florida's western coast. Hey, Kei, do you consider Florida a second home?
Yeah, I feel like a second home here, you know. I live really close, you know, from here. And, yeah, I've been used to this condition and a little bit faster court, so I like it a little more than anywhere else.
That's Japanese tennis star Kei Nishikori, and Kei was speaking in Miami, Florida. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Hi, my name is Florence Mwale, and I work as a reporter at Capital FM here in Malawi. With the world now a global village, the VOA's place cannot be overemphasized, since most of the issues it airs are pertinent to the advancement of least developed countries, such as Malawi. All of us here at Capital Radio Malawi are thrilled to be associated with the VOA as a partner station. Some of VOA's programs on our schedule include Straight Talk Africa and Daybreak Africa. As Capital Radio Malawi, we are excited to be associated with the VOA. And now as the VOA celebrates its 75th anniversary, we look forward to more live radio interactions and strengthened relations. Happy 75th anniversary, Voice of America, from Capital Radio Malawi.
Thanks, Florence, and thanks, Capital Radio Malawi, one of the Voice of America's partner stations. Now let's go to the southwestern U.S. city of Austin, Texas, where defending champion Jason Day of Australia has pulled out of the World Golf Championships match play tournament. Wiping away tears, the 29-year-old Day said he needs to be with his ailing mother.
My mom's been here for a while, and she has lung cancer. At the start of the year, she was diagnosed with 12 months to live. Oh, it's so hard. The diagnosis is much better being over here. She's going in for surgery this Friday, and it's really hard to even comprehend being on a golf course. Right now, because of what she's gone through, I mean, she had all the tests done in Australia, And the doc said she was terminal and she only had 12 months to live. And I'm glad I brought her over here because of it. And it's been really hard to play golf lately in this year. It's been very, very emotional, as you can tell. I've already gone through it once with my dad, and I know how it feels. And it's hard enough to see another one go through it as well. So as of now, I'm going to try and be back there with my mum for surgery and make sure everything goes right with her. Once again, it's been a very, very hard time for me to be even thinking about playing golf. And emotionally, it's been wearing on me for a while. And I know my mum says not to let it get to me, but it really has. So I just need some time away with her to make sure that everything goes well, because this has been very, very tough for me. So I'm going to do my best and try and be there the best I can for her, because she is the reason that I'm playing golf today.
Australian golf star Jason Day speaking in Austin, Texas. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports certainly wish Jason Day and his mother all the best. She's scheduled to have surgery on Friday in the U.S. state of Ohio. The U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament, one of the most popular annual sporting events here in the USA, resumes later Thursday night in Kansas City, Missouri, and San Jose, California. We've reached the Sweet 16 stage of the single elimination tournament. There will be two games in Kansas City and two games in San Jose on Thursday night. In Kansas City, the Ducks of Oregon will go against the Wolverines of Michigan. And that will be followed by a game between the Jayhawks of Kansas, Andrew Palcheski's favorite team, and the Boilermakers of Purdue. In San Jose, the Zags of Gonzaga will go against the Mountaineers of West Virginia. And that will be followed by a game between the Musketeers of Xavier and the Wildcats of Arizona. Now, Arizona is also where the national championship game will be played on April 3rd. The Sweet 16 stage will continue Friday night with four more games, two in New York City and two more in the southern U.S. city of Memphis, Tennessee. And let me just quickly mention one of the games in New York. Wisconsin will face Florida. The Badgers of Wisconsin eliminated defending national champion Villanova in their last game by a score of 65-62. That means the Gators of Florida remain the last team to win back-to-back national titles in U.S. men's college basketball, doing so in 2006 and 2007. The coach of both of those championship Florida teams was Billy Donovan, a former guard during his playing days, who has since moved on to become head coach of the National Basketball Association's Oklahoma City Thunder squad. Coach Donovan has had a front row seat this season for some spectacular all-around play by another guard, Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook. Westbrook recorded his 35th triple-double of the season Wednesday night. He tallied 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 14 assists as the Thunder stormed past the visiting Philadelphia 76ers, 122-97. Westbrook made all six of his field goal attempts and all six of his free throws. For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, the dynamic Russell Westbrook needs six triple-doubles in Oklahoma City's final 11 games to tie Oscar Robertson's single-season NBA record of triple-doubles set during the 1961-62 season. In more NBA news, Chicago Bulls center Robin Lopez and Toronto Raptors power forward Serge Ibaka were suspended one game without pay by the league for fighting. Lopez and Ibaka threw punches at one another during the Bulls-Raptors game on Tuesday, which the host Raptors won in overtime, 122-120. The 27-year-old Ibaka is from Congo Brazzaville. He was traded to the Raptors last month by the Orlando Magic after having spent the first 7 seasons of his NBA career with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's take a break now for this important message from a basketball Hall of Famer who is from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, yesterday we talked about the World Baseball Classic and how the United States was going to be playing Puerto Rico, and it was a hotly anticipated matchup, the first ever final for the United States. Well, they capitalized on that in Los Angeles, routing Puerto Rico 8-0 to win the U.S.'s first ever World Baseball Classic title. So congratulations to Team USA for doing that. A lot of exciting moments. It was rocking at Dodger Stadium. You saw a lot of great social media video and a lot of the great moments with the scoring, great pitching that was going on. No-hitter, actually, I believe, into the 6th inning. So really some great baseball from Team USA. And the person who kicked it off scoring-wise for Team USA was Ian Kinsler, the second baseman for the Detroit Tigers, who started it off with a 2-run home run. But Ian Kinsler was getting a little bit of social media attention, not just for that play, but for some comments he made to the New York Times before the game. He was talking about the Puerto Rico players, and he said, "I hope kids watching the World Baseball Classic can watch the way we play the game and appreciate the way we play the game as opposed to the way Puerto Rico or the Dominicans play." He says, "It's not taking anything away from them. They were raised differently to show emotion and passion. We do show emotion and passion, but we do it in a different way." So kind of taking a little bit of a jab at some of their excitement when they get, you know, a hit and they're kind of dancing on the bag and they're out in the outfield having a good time. Not sitting well with a lot of baseball fans. They said that Ian Kinsler is now part of the No Fun Allowed in Baseball Club. As we talked about the NFL being the No Fun League, there's been some accusations of that in Major League Baseball with some of the rules that they've put in place. So he's getting tagged a little bit with that, and that he's taking things a bit too seriously. It's a fun game. He should be out there having some fun.
Interesting. Earlier this week, Andrew, we heard from the Swiss tennis star Roger Federer. He's in Miami this week playing at the Miami Open. And he talked about emotion in sports. And he said it's a good thing. You want players to be emotional, whatever sporting venue they're competing in.
Exactly. And that's what we saw a lot of the fans saying on social media, is that if you're not having fun out there, then what's the point of doing it? Now, case in point for Team USA, and this is kind of funny in the context of Ian Kinsler's comments, when the team won, they ran out to the pitcher's mound, as you see at the end of, you know, when a team wins the World Series. And accompanying the team was an interesting, not a player, but a mascot. It was a bald eagle statue, about maybe a foot and a half tall, about half a meter tall or so. The statue was a gift to Houston Astros pitcher Luke Gregerson from his father-in-law, and it's become an unofficial mascot for the team, so much so that the team has been kind of rubbing it for good luck. They've kept it in the dugout all throughout the World Baseball Classic. And so they planted that eagle statue right there on the pitcher's mound with them while they were celebrating. So people noting that and watching the the TV broadcast last night saying, what is this up with this eagle, and doing some sleuthing to find out. But some people saying, too, you know, Ian Kinsler probably didn't like the eagle because it wasn't serious enough and it was too much fun. But, part of the emotion and the fun of the game is things like that, for sure.
Now, I guess many members of Team USA will now return to their major league clubs. And a scheduling note, opening day in Major League Baseball is April 3rd, I believe, so a little over a week away. Yeah. And, we look forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a big sports day. We've got the opening day for Major League Baseball and that night the NCAA championships. There's going to be a lot to talk about on April 3rd.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, sticking with baseball, we have Fortune magazine coming out with its list of the world's greatest leaders. And topping that list is not the leader of a country. It's not Pope Francis, who is number three on the list. It's Theo Epstein, who is the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. And we talked about the Cubs yesterday. They're making that movie about the historic 108-year curse that they broke. And now they've named Theo Epstein the greatest leader in the world. Not only did Theo Epstein lead the Cubs as general manager to breaking that curse, he led the Boston Red Sox to breaking their 86-year curse in 2004. So a lot of praise for Theo Epstein from Fortune magazine. Theo Epstein, to his credit, when he was asked about it, he said, "I can't even get my dog to stop peeing in the house." So he took it all in stride. But in a more serious note, he did say that it's ridiculous because he's not even the best leader in the organization. That goes to the players. So really spoken like a true leader, saying that he gives credit to his players. But a lot of people, you know, Cubs fans are thrilled about this. Other people kind of scratching their heads that, you know, Pope Francis is number three on the list. Senator John McCain was number nine. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is number 10. And topping the list is Theo Epstein, of all people. So, but not the only sports figure on the list. Number 11 was LeBron James. Of course, he led the Cleveland Cavaliers to breaking their own streak and getting a championship for Cleveland. Fans kind of mixed about that, too. A lot of Cleveland fans saying there's no way anyone's better than LeBron. So especially after the Cleveland Indians lost to the Chicago Cubs, I think they're wanting LeBron to top that list ahead of Theo Epstein.
And Andrew, in terms of Theo Epstein's dog, I can't resist. I saw this on social media. Today is National Puppy Day here in the USA.
It is indeed. So he's, he's going to have a lot to work with his puppy at home and try to get him to go outside.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we've talked about previously Dancing with the Stars here in the U.S. and how this season has a number of big-name athletes, Simone Biles and Nancy Kerrigan among them. Nancy Kerrigan, of course, a former U.S. Olympic skater. And she got some nice praise on Twitter from a fellow skater and U.S. skating legend in her own right, Christy Yamaguchi. She sent out a good luck tweet, but here's the problem with the tweet. I'll read it to you. It says, "So excited for you, Nancy Kerrigan. Can't wait to see you grace that ballroom floor, break a leg."
Ooh.
Now, the problem with that is Nancy Kerrigan is probably best known for almost having her leg broken by an assailant hired by her chief rival, Tonya Harding. So maybe not the best choice of words there. A lot of awkward gifts, a lot of foot and mouth kind of things. But Nancy Kerrigan, to her credit, she took it in stride. She tweeted back, said, "Thank you so much, Christy. I'm excited to get this started. Thank you for the advice." But a lot of fans saying, ooh, maybe you should have chosen some different words there given the historical context.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and you'll be back on Friday.
Sounds good. See you then.
And that wraps up the March 23rd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Deya. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the U.S. Department of the Interior, the DOI, announced a grant to the Kenya Ministry of Environment and the Africa Conservation Center to support Kenya's national wildlife conservation strategy. The grant and seven other grants awarded over the past year provide a total of $1.3 million, or 103 million Kenyan shillings, to support conservation and combat wildlife crime in Kenya and East Africa, and lay the groundwork for sustained collaboration between U.S. government and Kenyan counterparts. Wildlife crime threatens the security, economy, and biodiversity of East Africa, as demand for products like elephant ivory and rhino horn continues to rise, and poaching methods become increasingly sophisticated. International networks for poaching, transit, and sale of illegal wildlife products target wildlife populations across borders, creating a complex problem that transcends national boundaries. Kenya is currently a key source and transit country for illegal wildlife products from Africa. The conservation and sustainable management of wildlife and habitats is crucial to the region's long-term economic growth and development. In support of the U.S. National Strategy for Combating Wildlife Trafficking, USAID is taking action to enhance wildlife management and the enforcement and prosecution of wildlife crime. USAID has partnered with the DOI's International Technical Assistance Program, or DOI-ITAP, on a five-year project that uses DOI's expertise in law enforcement, investigation, and prosecution to create a strong network of regional actors to combat wildlife trafficking throughout East Africa. Since March 2016, USAID and DOI-ITAP have funded work with government agencies responsible for managing wildlife, non-governmental organizations fighting wildlife crime, and civil society groups that inform the public about this serious issue. In addition to the Ministry of Environment grant, projects supported include grants administered by Save the Elephants to support the Elephant Crisis Fund, regional coordinating efforts and enhanced community engagement to counter wildlife crime by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, high-profile events like the Giants Club Summit, public outreach initiatives by Wildlife Direct, security for rhino protection by the Laikipia Wildlife Forum, and organizational planning to protect wildlife at the Kenyan Wildlife Service. As U.S. Ambassador to Kenya Robert Godek noted, "By protecting wildlife and the environment, we can create jobs and build prosperity while preserving Kenya's rich natural heritage."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.